Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you would open up your bulletin, you'll find a copy of this morning's sermon notes in the middle section. You can follow along this morning as we continue to experience the wonders of Epiphany. Epiphany, we've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks. Epiphany is that aha moment in your life when everything else that was going on around you just assumed was ordinary, it was kind of mundane, and so often we kind of get into habits and in routines. But an epiphany is that moment where it just kind of wakes up. It's kind of that, oh, I didn't know all of this was happening around me. It's that aha moment. And it's that one thing that we talk about our faith that sometimes we can get into habits, into rituals. And we kind of say, well, this is what we do every Sunday. We just do it without really thinking about that wonderment of coming together in a time of worship. So this is our aha moment, and I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about something that really happens in a time of epiphany, in a time of what we're talking about today. We're going to be talking about that moment of transfiguration, and Jesus took his disciples, as we're going to read in Matthew's gospel, Jesus took his disciples up a mountain. And I often wondered, for many years, I really wondered about that mountain experience. I said, why did that happen? Not only why did it happen, why was it necessary? Because I believe now as I look at that moment of traveling that mountain, it speaks volumes about how most of us live our lives. Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they traveled up this mountain, up to the top of the mountain. It was a journey that would have taken them up to pretty high heights. It was something that not everybody was willing to do. And it really was a defining moment in the rest of their journey of faith. And I wonder about our own struggles that we often face when it comes to things with faith and future and destiny. How often do we face a mountain when we come to that mountain of decision? And we're faced with a hard choice of whether we're going to do the hard thing or the easy thing. How often do we often opt for the easy thing? And we miss this transcendental moment, this moment of clarity that changes the rest of our lives. What we're going to look at this morning as we look at this passage, we're going to encounter how it was essential that we all face that moment of the mountain, and how the mountain changes who we ever are or will become. Will you join with me? Let us open up God's Word, and let us see what this transfiguration moment is about for us. Would you join with me as we share what is on the screen? This is God's Word for my life, in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe He has a purpose for my life. It's important that as we enter the Word of God that we recognize it is not a historical text for another time and another age. It is about the values of God as applied to our time and our age. Reading from Matthew's Gospel, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before him Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground. They were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, surround us this morning. Envelop us with your Spirit. Speak your words into our hearts and into our minds, and transform us, O God, from the expectations of what faith is to the reality of you in our lives. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When faced with a mountain, or when faced with a choice, when faced with a decision in your life, you will often have to fight through your own expectations. What are your expectations for life? What is it that you expect from church? And very often, if your expectations are not met both in life and in faith, it's going to cause a disruption. It's going to cause a choice that is going to have to be made. You're going to have to see life differently, and that can be uncomfortable. A lot of the turmoil that we see in the world and in our own faith community is because of that tension between our expectations of what should be and God's leading or God's compelling us to see things differently. When the disciples begin to journey, as they begin to face this mountain, as they come to this moment, we want to look and say, what were their expectations of Jesus prior to facing this mountain? And if you look at the Gospels, you find that the vast majority of people had expectations of who Jesus was. They had some idea of what faith was going to be all about, that Jesus was going to take care of all of their needs, right? Jesus was going to break bread and he was going to feed them all. All they were going to have to do was bring them to him, all of their sick and their lame, and he was going to take care of all of their problems. Jesus was there to be the spiritual Santa Claus for all of their needs. Until they got to the mountain, that is. And a few of them took the journey to the top. But many of them, following the mountain encounter, faded away. Because the reality of Jesus was vastly different than the expectation of Jesus. In the same way, very often you will find in our own faith communities, the reality of the church is vastly different from the expectations of the church. How many people do you know in their own faith journey expect their faith to take care of all of their needs? So you're okay and I'm okay and God's here to love you and that's all there really is to it, until they come to this moment and they face the reality of their expectations. Expectations are a powerful force in our life. They direct our path and they determine how we see things. I looked up the definition. Expectation means the state of looking forward or anticipating a thing to occur. You expect something is going to happen, and so you look for it. Here's an experiment I want you to try, if you feel like it at some time during your day. This is an example of what can happen when you are expecting something. They ask a question. They say, take a room, just a normal room that you might have, maybe a sanctuary like this. And I would say, I'm going to give you a minute. I want you to look around and find everything that is blue. Find everything that is blue. And you'll look around and they say, okay, now close your eyes and tell me everything that is blue. And you would be able to rattle it off. You'd say, well, there's a stained glass window, and it's blue. And maybe there's a jacket or a coat or something. And say, oh, that's good. Keep your eyes closed. Now tell me everything that was red. Well, I didn't see anything red because I wasn't looking for anything red. I was expecting to find things that were blue, and that's what I was looking for. And I found exactly what I was looking for. You see, there's a great quote that says, you see the world not as it is, but as you are. You bring to it exactly what your wants and your needs are. That is, of course, until you climb that mountain and you see the reality of your life in stark contrast. It's interesting that very often I want to say that our lives are filtered through our expectations. You see your life, you see your journey through what you expect it to be. very often, if you expect that you're going to have a little home with a white picket fence, a two-car garage, a dog, a family, that is your expectation of what is normal and what is to be true, then anything that falls short of that is a failure or is a success. That is your gauge. But is that expectation true of life? Is it true? The question is not whether you have them. Of course you have them. You have expectations of yourself and those around you, and especially, above all, you have expectations of God. You expect things for Him to do, certain things, that life will be comfortable and it'll be easy and it'll take care of everything, and that if you need something, all He'll have to do is break some bread and throw you some bread and fish and you will be satisfied. It's not a question of whether you have expectations. The question is how are they shaping your life and your faith, and how are they creating your future? You have expectations. When Jesus takes His disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they go to the mountain, you can see this transition and how their expectations are beginning to change. And I want you to think this morning with me about taking that journey with them. Taking that journey with Jesus and the disciples to the mountain, and ask the question whether our expectations need to be challenged as well. He takes the disciples to this high mountain, and as they come up, again, they're traveling with Jesus, who they assume is going to be the Messiah, right? But the Messiah that they have created in their own image. Messiah is going to come in and He's going to kick out the Romans. As a matter of fact, James and John's mother eventually come to Jesus and say, look, when you come and you establish your cabinet, when you establish your powerful throne, have my boys, as any good mother would do, have my boys sit on your left and on your right. She is assuming that there's going to be some military coup that's going to happen. They're expecting Jesus to take care of them, to finally reestablish their expectations of what the kingdom of God is going to be like. The first thing that we have to do when we come to the mountain is we have to confront the easy answers. We have to confront the easy answers. When they get there and they see that Jesus is being transformed before them, they respond out of habit, out of rote. Peter says, Lord, it's good that we're here. Doesn't really know what he's saying. And he says, let us build three booths for you and Moses and Elijah. Let's camp out here for a little while like we normally do. Let's do what we always do. And it's actually, if you read the transfiguration passage in the Gospel of Mark, Mark kind of inserts this little jab at Peter. He kind of says, because he didn't know what he was talking about. As a matter of fact, if you study Bible a little bit, you find that it's believed that Mark got his message or his stories from Peter himself. And so many scholars kind of believe that this is Peter jabbing himself, saying, I didn't know what I was saying. I was naive. I was innocent. He came up to the mountaintop and he said, Lord, it is good that we're here. This is great. This is what we have been waiting for. Let's build some booths. What do you say? Let's pull out a pack of hot dogs and make some s'mores while we're up here. Because he didn't know what he was doing. He was speaking out of habit and out of rote. And sometimes we have to confront those easy answers. We have to face the truth that God expects something from us. God has some expectations. If you are in a full, developed love relationship with God, if you have a spiritual destiny at all, it should be expressing itself. It should be giving itself over completely and totally to a different kind of life, not just a Sunday morning experience. How are we encountering the easy answers? Sometimes those easy answers have to lead to deeper experiences. We have to confront the easy choices of the valley. So we climb the mountain and we see things that we hadn't experienced or hadn't intended to know. In the valley, Jesus was just like any one of us. He was just a man who did some amazing things. things that people couldn't quite understand. But on the mountaintop, when he's transfigured, those easy answers don't quite work out. And many times we have people that accept the easy answers, that God is going to take care of all of our needs. Life is going to be easy until the struggles start to happen and those easy answers no longer work out. It's in those moments, in the moment of transfiguration, when Jesus is transformed, his clothes are shining brighter than the brightest sun, that we have to then confront the truth. Jesus is both God and man. He walks among us because he's expressing the fullness of God's grace. And in that moment of encounter with Jesus, we hear the voice of God speaking to him. If you actually look in Matthew's gospel, Matthew now compares this moment, the words of God in this moment, parallel the words that were encountered at Jesus' baptism. The heavens were opened. This is my son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. These are the two baptismal moments that occur in Jesus' life. The truth of the reality is that Jesus is not just like one of us. He has the purity of God in his heart, and yet he is fully man as well. We have to confront the truth. We are on a different course. As we become part of a church community, we have to face the reality that the church has a mission. It has a purpose. And that purpose is not just 1 hour on Sunday morning. The truth is to know that person fully. Peter, James, and John would have an encounter that would shape the rest of their life. They faced the truth of who he really was. So often our own expectations like to clear away the truth of what's happening. We like to focus on what we know, what's right before us. And very often, if you have high expectations, you will not even see all of the truth that is coming around you. When people are involved in ministries or in missions, you'll say, I don't understand that at all, because your expectations are so narrow for what God is able to do. The truth of the matter is once this moment happened, many of the people that followed Jesus began to fade away. The truth began to be too much for them to bear. Have you been able to confront the truth of who Jesus is? Because as soon as you confront the truth, the very next thing that happens is not easy, but it's even harder and it's deeper. The next thing that we have to do is we have to confront the hard questions. Notice what Jesus says as they start coming down the mountain. It isn't that now everything is going to be easy and I'm going to take care of everything because you know that God is on my side. He says, don't tell anybody until you have seen the Son of Man being raised from the dead. This is the first time in the entire Gospel of Matthew that we start getting a glimpse of the resurrection, of the crucifixion and the resurrection. And I can only imagine what is going through the disciples' heads. They have been on the mountaintop and they're going, this is great. God is on our side. Things are going to be wonderful. And Jesus says, now I need you to go even deeper. I want you to think about this. Don't tell anybody until you have seen me resurrected from the dead. Who threw in this whole death thing all of a sudden? That wasn't part of our expect. That wasn't part of the plan. Who said we were supposed to get involved, that it was going to be this difficult? I thought following Jesus was going to be easy. And that's the hard reality. Being a Christian has never been easy. All you have to do is look at history. When you signed up to be part of the church, you signed up for an adventure. You signed up for a challenge, something that was going to take the very core of you, tear it apart, and rebuild it. You have to face the hard questions. What does it mean for this one man who's transfigured with Moses and Elijah, who's been blessed by God, to come down and said, when you know that I have been risen from the dead, that's when you can start speaking about this moment. That's when it all becomes clear. Once you know, and once you've experienced that profound presence of God, that's when it'll all come clear, and not until. Until you know that, all of this is just show. Until you've had that experience of God in your life, everything that we do here is for you as performance. But when you've had that profound experience and expression of God in your life, it all comes full circle, and you see life differently. And if you look in your sermon notes, it says, then you will begin to live redemptively. And that's my question to you this morning. As you experience God this morning, every Sunday morning transfigured before you, are you living redemptively, differently, more richly, more profoundly? Let me give you some help as to think through how that's possible. These are things that have been used over the millennia to understand the power of what God is doing. The first thing that you've got to do is you've got to be a part of the Bible. This is where the story is being told. How many of you, when you got married, got one of those big fat Bibles? I mean, literally about that thick, a show Bible, that whenever the pastor came by, you pulled it out and you dusted it off and said, of course we read it. We've got this big Bible right here, right? Until you know the stories, you see the world as it really is and as it really could be. You see Jesus as he is, serving and caring, healing and redeeming, and you see him as he could be, glorified, brighter than bright, with the great patriarchs of the past. We see the prophets and the lawgiver communing with Jesus. You see that revealed before you through the scriptures. In this time of worship, that's what this is all about. That's why Jesus wanted us to gather once a week, to come together to see that glory revealed through the songs and through the prayers and through the presence of other people, to be in that moment of transfiguration. Imagine if Jesus, if you now knowing what you know, if you had been there and he said, hey, let's go up to the top of the mountain with the other 12, and you said, you know, I was up there last week. I'd been to the mountain last week, and I really don't feel like going up there again. I know what's up there. How many of the disciples, and we don't really know, how many of the disciples said, I've got other things to do? It's a beautiful day like today. I'd rather go in town and see a show or do something, I don't know. And you miss that transfiguration moment that propelled them into a new life. We experience here the radiance and the glory of God. How? In our prayers, and primarily in the faces and in the eyes of other people as they reveal the truth of what God is doing in their lives. And finally, when you begin to come down the mountain. See, I wondered if Peter and James and John said, let's build booths and let's just camp out up here. Let's just stay up here, leave the filth and the dust and the dirt of the valleys to themselves. Let's go. And Jesus said, that's where the ministry is. That's where the transformation is going to happen. When you start to apply both what you find in the Word and in worship, when the energy and the wisdom combine together in service, you now begin to see the transformation happening, not only in the lives of other people, but in you as well. You find God working through you, the spirit of transfiguration coming through you. You are being transformed from the inside out. So the question that I have to ask is, which of these three, for you, are you struggling with? Are you struggling with time in the Word? Are you having trouble every day just reading a little bit of a snippet of saying, this is what the Word is really like. This is what's going on in the world. Are you having trouble feeling the energy of worship? I want to be a part of the transfiguration moment. I want to experience more of that. Or are you having trouble finding a way to connect the two together, where your gifts and your graces flow seamlessly into the lives of others? There are paths available to you, but you have to seek them out. You have to ask the question. You have to say, let me become vulnerable. Let me become involved. The transfiguration moment is a moment that is going to challenge your expectations of who you are at your very core. And I think that as church, We ought to be doing that on a regular basis. I think God came and he gave himself over to death on a cross simply to say, you are more than you think you are. You are more than you have become. I want to call you out from the ordinary and let you experience the extraordinary. It's going to cause something to upset your apple cart. But I'm going to tell you that there are other people on that journey, and it's worth taking that first step. Will you take that step? Will you be willing to make that journey? Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this day and the opportunity that we have to share it with so many friends, so many leaders, and so many disciples. Father, there are times that we find that it is difficult to take that step into the mountain. But the glory that you have for us and the radiance of your own spirit within us gives us hope for tomorrow, even when faced with the difficult questions of what will happen next. Help us, O God, to live out our faith boldly and with confidence. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.